Welcome to Novo Ed Talks, where we reveal real-world strategies and expert insights from learning and development professionals. In every episode, we chat with practitioners, course designers, learning strategists, and business leads. We hear about their experiences in the learning industry and predictions for the profession and the trends that they're seeing. But before we get started, a little bit about Novo Ed. Founded at Stanford's Social Algorithms Lab in 2012, Novo Ed is a people-centric, capability-building platform that combines social and collaborative learning to drive performance readiness at scale. Through cohort-based experiences centered around human interaction, Novo Ed taps into collective wisdom, placing each learner at the center of perspective, application, and expertise. Large enterprises such as 3M, GE, Marriott International, and Nestle partner with Novo Ed to accelerate their critical initiatives, reconnect teams, and achieve rapid alignment through learning that is felt, experienced, and swiftly transformed into impact. Now, let's meet our guest for today's episode.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Novo Ed Talks podcast, a space for training trailblazers to get real. My name is Melissa Fisk. I am your host today and also the producer of the Novo Ed Talks podcast. And today we are joined by Marco Alvarado, who is the Regional Talent Acquisition Director for TELUS Digital. Marco is a technology and business transformation enthusiast. He also has 4 agile management certifications. Marco is a master in agile project management and has a degree in business administration and technology. He also has a specialization oriented to Six Sigma. He knows 3 languages, of which he masters 2 at a high level, and he is a certified professional by PBS in human resources. As a professional, he has extensive experience in the ITO and BPO industry, more than 17 years of experience, and he is passionate about solving problems, adding value, but above all, constant learning. Marco, we love to hear that. Welcome to the Novo Ed Talks podcast.
Thank you, Melissa, and thank you, everyone. Pleasure.
All right. Well, why don't you start by introducing yourself, your role, and your company?
Perfect. So been working for TELUS for quite a while, as you mentioned. Been in most of the areas of the business process outsourcing world offers. I started back as a representative, moved up as a quality auditor, then an operations manager. I was in charge of leading some of our call center operations out of Latin America and the Caribbean as well when we had the business in the Caribbean, and then moved out from the operation to recruit. I didn't know anything about recruiting, to be honest, but somehow I was always very good at persuading people and, you know, to get into the company, refer good talent to the company. So I was offered, the opportunity to apply. I applied. And since then, probably for the past 8, 9 years of my career, I've spent time in recruiting, understanding the trends, the different markets, different trends as well when it comes to recruiting different generations to the company, different roles, not only call center, also technology, interact a little bit with the AI space of our business, and so on.
Awesome. And so who are the learners that you oversee, and what are some of the challenges that they face?
Well, you know, I would say my internal leaders, I've been very lucky because most of the leaders I've been through, at least working with throughout my career, they all of them have evolved into, you know, enterprise roles, vice presidents, global directors. So I would say business-wise, all my internal leaders that I've learned with, you know, at home, I would probably, you know, back then when I used to live with my brother, my older brother is a huge example in terms of sales, my mother as well. And of course, right, close friends that I like to hear stories from.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And what are some of the challenges that these folks face?
Well, scaling business, right? Nowadays, even the after pandemic effect, scaling business fast has been one of the challenges. If I have to say nowadays, how you leverage AI and how AI is reshaping businesses across the world, those are the most common challenges that nowadays we face in the different organizations that I see colleagues, facing as well. And how you adapt, right? Because in the end, You either swim or sink, right? So
Yeah, and that's actually something we hear a lot from folks, is just scaling, how to scale, and also just like with how rapidly everything is coming about with AI and technology, like how you keep up with that and implement that as well. So kind of along those lines, as the skills sets needed to succeed, excuse me, as the skill sets needed for success continue to shift, what strategies does your team use to ensure the workforce remains adaptable and prepared?
Great question. So continuous learning, something that I like to set the example with the team, right? And I like to ask this question to everyone, right? Whenever, let's say you imagine I want to buy the car of my dreams, and everyone will tell you they want a Lambo, a Ferrari, they want, the best out of the best. And companies usually look for that. You always want to look for the talent that doesn't know how to manage a business out of 2010 or 2020, the talent that will lead the way towards managing the business in 2030, for instance, right? So a lot of what I do to strategize on the challenges and the continuous changes in the market is continuous learning, right? Investigate new ways to do things, learn from different markets. In my case, I'm based out of Latin America, but I really love meeting companies out of North America, because North American companies lead a lot of the way. And then, once you learn, you reshape your strategy, your process, your workflows towards the different markets around the world, right? So that's usually what I do to collaborate on that end and tackle the challenges, right? Look for new ways, innovate on your process. Whenever you think that things are done and you're at a steady state, that's the time where you have to think the most how to reshape the future for your work.
Yeah, absolutely. And how does your team kind of address and assess skills gaps to stay agile in a changing workforce?
Well, so first of all, understand where is the waste, right? What are the pain points of the different stages of your process? So if I'm talking about recruiting stages, right? Candidate experience, where are they losing time? What type of tools are we managing, right? Are they helpful or not? Because in the digital era, everyone was talking about CRM, centralizing all the information. And nowadays, you're not talking so much about how to centralize information, but more how do you decentralize it and how do you manage different workflows that will facilitate the work? And you are able to customize it, right? You don't have to depend on someone to develop a specific section of the process. So a lot of what we rethink here at Thales is how can we do it better? Where is the waste? How can we improve the experience and assess those specific sections of our, in this case, talent acquisition process to make it better? So, and from there, you start scaling a solution, right? Let's say you have to run a pre-screening. Probably 5 years ago, you would normally do a call, introduce yourself, see if someone is suitable for the role and have the normal competencies. Nowadays, you can use AI, conversational AI to do all of that, right? To validate all the basics prior they engage in a specific interview. So that's part of how we're assessing the work of our current process to streamline it for the future.
Yeah, I love that. And I don't know why I haven't thought of AI as a use case to do that, but that is a really nice tool in that it can like help set you up, right, to have like an interview where it's like you don't have to necessarily waste time asking those questions because you've already had that assessed and you can get like deeper into who the person is and their personality and like really understand like what they're kind of looking to achieve. I love that. How do you currently measure the effectiveness of your programs, and do you have any core KPIs? This is always t a tough question.
Right. It's no, but it's something I love, because in the HR world, everything is perceived as subjective, right? So how do you make it objective? So in my case, we run a balanced scorecard. We prioritize the KPIs not only for our internal productivity, but as well as our clients. If I have to talk about our massive recruiting line of business, which is call center work, app support, technical engineering support, all of those roles that we hire, the number one KPI that clients are looking for is how do I retain my talent, right? And normally you see that most of the talent acquisition teams work throughout productivity, right? The main KPI for most of the BPOs is fill rate. In our case, it's attrition, right? 50% of our scorecard is attrition, the other 50% is productivity, and that attrition is measured throughout, you know, different stages. You know, part of the band scorecard is measured by 90-day attrition, just to see if they had a good onboarding, if there was a good expectation from the recruiter towards the role, towards the training, the company, and all that, and you know, a six-month attrition, you know, plus the yearly, right? So it's divided in three sections, because in the end, you want to drive that accountability in your recruiters that people that comes to this industry, because it's a fast-paced industry, you know, it's challenging at some point. And, you know, as every industry, right, it's not for all, right? It's not for all. You know, it might be a good business. It might be a good paying job in different markets, but still, you know, it is challenging. So, you know, attrition for us is super important. You know, the likelihood to retain talent for our clients and avoid the cost to retrain, re-recruit, it's super important. And that's how we measure it, right? We measure those KPIs specifically besides productivity, right? That, you know, includes your time to fill. And as well, we include something that as a, you know, probably as a kicker, which is QA, audit the interviews of your teams, right? Audit what they do, how they deliver, you know, how does the interview go? Because, you know, you want to give feedback to your recruiters. And in our end, for most of the markets, we're able to record the interviews, right? Not for all, because in some you have to ask for consent. Mm-hmm. But for the ones where you don't, we use transcripts and our internal AI tools to run the transcript and, you know, drive that grading, right? So a lot of, you know, innovation on the AI side to automate, speed up the work, audit our work to deliver better for our candidates.
Yeah, that's great. I want to get back to the AI piece in a little bit. But sure. You mentioned at the beginning of our time together that you had seen some folks that you had brought on that like ascended to, you know, VP positions and much higher up positions. Can you share a successful case study or example of, you know, an initiative that significantly has kind of impacted employee performance and contributed to the overall success of the organization?
Yeah, sure. Well, there's one in our Latin America center a few years back. It was tough to recruit software developers, right? Because whenever you're a BPO and you start, you know, merging into the software development AI world, people still perceive you as a normal BPO, you know, an outsourcer. So attracting software development talent whenever you compete with Fortune 500 companies and a lot of tech companies scaling fast is super challenging, despite of you being a big corporation, right? So we started investing a lot in tech communities and delivering free boot camps for education, right? So something that happens very often in the tech world is that profiles are very niche, right? People are very tough to find. Even Latin America, US, Canada, you need to move them from one city to other. But something that we see is that normally boot camps are either paid or not paid. And as a company, we like to give back. So a lot of our sourcing strategy is leverage those boot camps in niche technologies where you know talent is open to be part of your company and give that continuous learning despite of them not being employees, right? Because in the end, if you really want to create the enough offer to meet the demand, you have to invest, right? Something that we say normally at TELUS is to make a dollar, you have to invest a dollar, right? You definitely have to invest. And as a company, we invested back then. We grew our software development outsourcing line of business from 3 in one specific country to 250 in less than 3 years. It was massive. We became probably in Central America now, we probably are one of the top 10 employers in terms of software development outsourcing if not top five in a matter of years, just by, connecting with the tech communities, helping the people that really, they probably have all the willingness to learn, but they don't have all the resources, right? So you invest in them and you give that follow-up consistently, and eventually opportunity, it's met, right? Because yes, for some role, you do need certain seniority, certain years of experience, but some people do have the years of experience. They just need that extra push. And that's something that we've learned out of the Latin American market and as well the North American market, that help you scale faster and helps you change the perception of people to your company. Say, hey, these guys are really giving education for free. They're really investing. I'm not committing to a long-term opportunity because I know that out of the boot camp, I'll probably have 15 to 20 people join the boot camp, but only the best five will get the job. And I'm conscious of that, and they are as well. But in the end, there is a win-win because you're giving back to the market people that aren't competent, and then they can also help other companies. In the end, you avoid that poaching and that competitiveness of raising salaries just because everyone is pursuing the same talent, right? So that's a lot of how we vision and what we did over the past few years to grow this vertical.
Wow, that's brilliant. And I love that. Like, just like anticipating what these folks need and just giving it to them. And just like that speaks volumes, I feel like, to knowing who your kind of target market for these roles are. I love that. Now, jumping back to what you were mentioning earlier about AI a little bit, I don't know if you want to expand upon that, but just kind of talk generally about, what role does technology play in your programs and how are you leveraging some of these tools? I know you spoke to it a little bit earlier.
So a lot of what we've been doing through the past few years is BPMs, the business process management tools, normally connect to your CRMs, right? Every company has different CRMs. You can have Workday, you can have Salesforce, you name it, right? But out of those, by having BPMs, you will automate a lot of the workflow. But that does it's not enough, right? Because you can automate the workflow, but at some point, you don't have enough hands for the problems. In our case, I'm responsible to hire over 25,000 people a year, right? So, and I have to do it with less than 150 people. So there's a lot of work that has to be automated, a lot of the experience that has to be automated. So lately we started grabbing AI to reshape some of our processes. One, experimenting and piloting the pre-screening stage of massive recruiting with AI conversational. Two, as well, the AI support to run the transcripts, right? So most of the companies are afraid of using ChatGPT because everything goes public. You can release proprietary information. And yeah, there are certain layers of confidentiality that you put at risks. So what we do is, we have developed our internal service tool. It's Fuel iX EX internally as well, that helps us run Copilot servicing, and we're leveraging that Copilot to run the transcripts of our internal recruitment interviews and grade them, right? See what's the sentiment, what you know. And yes, you have to, whenever you build your AI bot, library. Put all the information aside, your interview flows, the potential answers and all of that for the Copilot to actually work. But after being in business for over 20 years, you know what's your process. You have everything documented. You're a public traded company. Of course, you have to have documentation in everything you do. And more now that we have our internal AI tool that helps us leverage all the AI work to create that analysis on the quality of work that we do. Right. And that's one example of how we're using AI to reshape our quality on the interview stage, right? Besides starting to explore hybrid structures. Yeah, hybrid structures, what I mean is how do you integrate AI bots into your organizational chart to work and do the back office support roles? So just to give you an example, right? If at a point you wanna include an AI bot. There are a lot of companies that build AI assistants, but once you pass through all the technology and security checks that you have to go through, you can have them do the back office work. Let's say hire someone through the system, issue the IDs, ship the equipment internally, right? At least just initiate the part of the process because someone else will take care of the rest. And that I think that's how AI, it's going to continue to reshape our practices here at TELUS, but as well will shape the future for us to keep ourselves lean in terms of cost structure management and as well improve the experience of our employees, right? Because having someone do back office work 8 hours a day is not sustainable. They lose engagement, they get bored, they want something else. And at the end, an AI bot won't have that disengagement, right? At least for the basic work. And you can truly have the appraisal of talent to be developed for something else, right? So for us, AI is not a fear, right? For us, it's something that we have to embrace, not only to repurpose a lot of the things that we do through the recruiting process, but as well to set the example to serve customers, because at the end, we're a next-gen customer services company, so we have to use it, right? We have to lead the pack.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the first time I've ever heard anyone use like hybrid. Like, I love that like word just applied to kind of AI, because I think that's a great way to like explain where we're at with AI right now. It has to be kind of like a hybrid approach to a lot of things. You know, like you can't just totally replace humans with AI. And so I love that phrase, hybrid AI.
As we say, right? Like you cannot lose the human in human resources, right? So you have to have something in it, despite of AI automating a lot of the work. We use it, the way I see it is it's gonna reshape a lot of the workflow, and we'll challenge employees to do that continuous learning, right? Because if we put that as an example, 60 years ago, right? TV was probably in the peak, right? Everyone was buying their TVs and leaving the radios aside. Same as newspapers, right? Once you got social media, internet, right? Newspapers started losing effect. Everything evolves, right? So you cannot expect to have the same job for 100 years, right? It will change, it will evolve.
Absolutely. Along those same lines, as you look back and kind of look at how learning and development and mentoring programs have kind of rapidly evolved over the past 5 years, what are some key takeaways you've seen?
Well, some of the key takeaways out of emerging trends is that once you finish something, there's always something new, right? Probably 6, 7 years ago, we were putting to practice Scrum to agilize our recruiting processes. Now you have to include AI into that practice. So something we've learned is that you have to build something that you understand that will change, right? At the end, everything is, it has to be a framework. Nothing is set in stone, right? So, you have to be open to that change. So that's probably one of the things that I've seen evolved, right? Pre-pandemic, I used to have 300 people lining up to get a job. After pandemic, zero. Everything is done online. So, and some things are done still in person, but mostly it's online, right? And you have to put the right tools and the right proctoring features to make sure you get the appropriate candidate and it's fully transparent, right? And you still take care of the company because at the end, you have to protect your business, right? Provide a good, example, in industry-wise, and so do it great for the candidates, but business goes first as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I love that concept of having like a framework, like nothing set in stone, but a framework that you can adapt and move forward. Speaking of more moving forward, on the flip side, how is your team leveraging technology to enhance employee experiences while preparing kind of for the next 5 years of technological advancement?
Great question. So I'm challenging them to use more the Copilot. I think our software development team at TELUS has done a great job developing internal AI tools to make it better for internal processes, right? So some of the challenges that I'm encouraging my team to use it more, and how are we going to enhance the referral program? How are we going to enhance the, whenever you have we 55% of what we hire comes from the referral program, right? So it's a huge number and it talks a lot about engagement. But as well, it's super important to keep in mind that maintaining that 55% has a lot of work with communication, right? So, I'm encouraging a lot to use our AI copiloting tools to make it work. Learn technology. To be honest, it's a part of requirement here if you want to be a tech recruiter. If you're not certified, we're open to help you scale, and once you're certified, you can reapply. But you have to pull the bar up, right? You have to challenge people to be better.
Yeah.
That could come with great rewards and as well some risks, right? You have to pay people as well properly. That's important.
Yeah, absolutely. To close on a positive note, what's the most important lesson you've learned as a leader that you would pass on to someone just starting on their journey in a leadership role?
Build a lot of resiliency, right? Try to be always a transparent person. Whenever you're in a leadership role, there are some cases where you will have to play a good cop, bad cop situation. And you will be, sometimes challenged to take these, life-changing decisions for some. But you have to be transparent. I think that one of the things that I've learned the most, if you're transparent, if you're honest to people, if you communicate, if you don't hide some of the things to them, right? Because of course there are some things that will have to be at stay at a leadership level, but be transparent on your message. People will appreciate it, right? At the end, whenever you work with people, if they leave the company, they leave you, right? As that old saying, right? People don't leave companies, they leave managers. So in my case, I'm thankful because most of my team has more than 5, 8 years tenure. I've probably been a director for the past 3 years, so all of them have a lot of tenure. And despite of me, inherit all of my leaders, we've been able to sync, well as a leadership group. And something that they appreciate is honesty. Honesty, good communication, and someone that appraises their work. Because whenever you're a leader, they expect you to give everything for the rest, but you also have to reward the leaders that help you build great things. Don't forget about that, right? So I would say those are the most important things.
Absolutely. I love that. And I think it's so true. Like it's, I think sometimes people get so like caught up in like the company and the mission of the company. And we do so, especially it's like you want to deliver a premium product. You know, everyone does that, you know. So it's like you get caught up in that a little bit, but you forget that at the end of the day, it's all just like people working together, you know, and people have to be able to connect with other people. So
You cannot forget that, yeah, you have a life cycle in a company, right? We all have it. And during that life cycle, you have to appreciate the opportunity and understand that you can make big changes for the industry, for your life, for a lot of people that you will impact. But there's a life cycle. It will come to an end. You're at the end, you're an employee. Someone else will lead the pack in 20, 15 years after you're gone, right? Things will continue. So the best you can do is enjoy the ride. Stay positive, be resilient to tough situations, and always be honest to people because it's just a job, right? It's just a job. You have to be very passionate, but understand that life goes on, right? Jobs are part of your professional life cycle, but they don't have to be everything in your life as well.
I love that. Marco, thank you so much. You've shared so many great insights here. And, you know, I just really appreciate you bringing all your years of experience to this podcast because I can tell you're a very insightful person and have gotten very far by being very intuitive and in touch with people. So thank you so much for joining us today on the NovoEd Talks podcast.
Thank you very much for the invitation. And well, I hope we stay in touch. Appreciate it.
All right. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in once again.